Oh, Lasso. Well, as it's quite obvious, we've now run through the whole cycle of the various shamatha methods three times. And so what I'd like to do this morning, and for at least the next several days, maybe for the rest of the retreat, we'll see, is to let you drive solo. We have these three modes of mindfulness of breathing, from coarse to subtle. We have settling the mind into natural state, getting more subtle. We have awareness of awareness, more subtle yet. And so, as I've given the analogy before, these are like five gears, first, second, third, fourth, fifth gear in a car. And any skillful driver knows when to downshift, when to upshift, depending on the ever-changing terrain, right? And the degree of traffic, that would be a pretty good analogy. And so that's what I would invite you to do this morning, and we'll see over the coming days, but certainly for this morning, is to evaluate, to test what's the quality of the body-mind you're bringing to the practice this morning. Is it agitated? Is it tense? Is it very relaxed? Is it clear? Is it dull? So basically the terrain of your body-mind, and then choose the method, follow it. And so those five are all forward gears, but any good vehicle also has reverse gears. And whenever you slip into the obsessive compulsive delusional disorder, you can know you're definitely going backwards. Okay? And if that obsessive compulsive delusional disorder, that is the flow of obsessive and compulsive thinking, if they're strongly dominated by craving, hostility, and delusion, then you know you're going into reverse turbo, right? And so we'll try to keep going forward. And with that, with no further ado, let's jump right in, choose your own method, and I will simply keep the time. let's bring this session to a close. Hola, Sue. The effectiveness with which we progress along the path of shamatha and the likelihood of actually achieving shamatha is actually a very mundane question. And that is, it all has to do with simply causality, cause and effect. And so I'd encourage you just now and then to go back to the attention revolution, or any of, or much older and much more classic, that's not classic, but classic treatises like works by Tsongkhapa and so forth, that simply lay out the outer and the inner conditions. It's really like a recipe for a cake. If you have the outer conditions, thank you, Klaus, we have the outer conditions. Inner conditions, that you have to do for yourself. But bring those two together and cook at a moderate temperature for 6 months, a year and a half, and you'd have a shamatha cake. One of the crucial ingredients, indispensable ingredients, is in Tibetan, Drepa Laso Ve Namdo Yonso Bampa, and that is this complete rejection, complete letting go of all types of obsessive compulsive thinking revolving around desires and so forth. Just to be relentless about that. Just in between sessions, releasing and releasing, and just being engaged with reality. Because when we're caught up with cognitive fusion, with these involuntary thoughts, we become disengaged from reality, because we're often conflating the thoughts with the reality, and that's a big mistake. So if you're just always engaging with something that's real, it could be the touch of your feet on the ground as you're walking. It could be the feeling of the toothbrush in your teeth when you're brushing your teeth. It can be attending to the space of the mind and its contents. It can be open presence. It can be mindfulness of breathing. Anything that is actually real. And in one of the philosophical systems, Sautrantika, it is said that which is, there are things that are just imaginary, like property. Property is, it's true, but it's imaginary, right? It's simply a matter of social agreement. But there are some things that are not imaginary, and that is, we may call this a clock, a wristwatch, we may call it all kinds of things, but if I toss it over to Tsepel, it will bounce off of her. And so that's kind of real. Right? I mean, you can think whatever you like about it, but if I toss it towards you, it will bounce, right? And so that which is real in that sense of the term is that which is directly perceived. So that which is real, that which is causally efficacious, that which really matters, although I don't like the verb, that which really mind matters, or something like that, because mind also matters, that which is causally efficacious is that which is directly perceived. Directly perceived with the mind, thoughts, emotions, memories, images, dreams, clearly causally efficacious. That which we see by way of the five physical senses, causally efficacious, real as it gets. So in between sessions, if we just not only get real, but stay real, and don't go into quasi-real and get caught up there, that would be a great boon, a great step forward in the path of shamatha. Okay? Good. See you this afternoon.